Podcast episode number 30. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
It's kind of like a special number.
30!
We had a nice solid round number in this episode.
Never trust any episode over 30.
Is that a thing?
You never heard that? Never trust anyone over 30?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true in the podcasting world too.
Oh, good to
Or
know.
You could take it in a Logan's Run direction. Perhaps.
So what's new? What's new, Tom? How are you? We haven't had an episode for a while.
I know. It's been a bit. I'm good. I've been reading a lot of comic books, actually,
really?
After I finished Paolo Bacigalupi's Wind-Up Girl.
You finished?
I did.
Oh.
I'm also reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, great.
Which I had never read. I'd never picked it up yet. So.
I just finished reading Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter by the same author.
Oh yes, I've seen that is out now, and that sounds like it's pretty awesome. Although I've heard people say it's not quite as awesome as Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I've not yet read Zombies. I intend to at some point. It was really good. It was like a great alternate history. His writing is really excellent, and it flowed very well with how you would imagine things would have gone in that time had there been vampires.
Yeah, all right. I'll buy that. I'll buy Abraham Lincoln. In fact, I will. I have. I bought it on my Kindle. It's just sitting there. I have to read it. I'll read that, which is what I should say.
And I promise that did not interfere with my wind-up girl because I was listening to that in audiobook form.
Ah,
so
gotcha.
It did not interfere with my reading time.
So how you doing on the wind-up girl there?
I'm more than halfway done.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later. Let's get into some quick burns first.
Absolutely. First, Bitter Seeds, which is a book we actually discussed a little bit with Cory Doctorow a few episodes back.
Yeah, that's right. And he had a posting up on Boing Boing that it had hit the shelves on April 13th. So we just wanted to pass along that, hey, if you're interested in that, it's out. You can pick it up. It is, if you don't remember, an alternate World War II history, the twist being that mad German scientists have discovered a way to endow sociopaths with X-Men-like powers. And so Great Britain has to create a secret division of warlocks, as you would
obviously.
In that situation. Yeah,
obviously. It looks really interesting. The author is Ian Tregillis. I hope I pronounce his name correctly. And he actually used to attend writer's workshops with Cory Doctorow. Cory Doctorow being the teacher in those workshops.
Yeah, so. The Clarion Workshop, which is a pretty well-known sci-fi mm-hmm. writer workshop.
You know, it kind of reminds me of... the workshop from Gentlemen Broncos.
What?
Did you ever eventually see Gentlemen Broncos?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, we discussed it on the forums a couple of times. It was a movie that was made by the same director as, why can't I remember the name of that stupid movie? Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, right, that guy, yes.
The same director as Napoleon Dynamite, and it stars...
I still need to see Gentlemen Broncos.
It stars Jermaine from
Flight of the Conchords, yes.
Well, he's a sci-fi writer who runs a workshop, and he ends up stealing one of the books that the students have written because he's run out of ideas. Spoiler alert! It's in the description.
You know, that's why Cory Doctorow does these workshops, right?
Oh.
Because where do you think he gets all those ideas? He comes up with way too many ideas.
The more you know.
He's totally Jermaining you.
This book looks really great, actually. I'd love to read it maybe for one of our future picks.
Yeah. In fact, this reminded me of this other article I'd seen over on IO9 about great moments in alternate history, because there are a lot of books in this vein where they sort of bring magic and fantasy into history, like Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. It's probably, they say in the posting, next to Harry Potter, as far as tying magic and England together. The book references George III, It's a 19th century England with a bunch of magic running around.
Yeah,
there's also,
I have to give that book another shot.
Yeah, you didn't like it? Didn't dig it?
I tried reading it and I just couldn't get into it. I have that problem a lot, as I think we've all come to notice, where if I don't get grabbed within the first like 50 pages, I slowly start to lose interest, as I think a lot of people probably do.
Yeah.
But I don't have the wherewithal sometimes to follow up, to keep going, to climb that wall.
Randall Garrett's Too Many Magicians might be more your speed. Detective stories set in an England where magic has been formalized into a science.
That sounds awesome. And also, they talk about Alvin Maker by Orson Scott Card, which was a series that I also began and kind of tapered off after a while because it got a little bit weird. And then,
did you read Naomi Novik's Temeraire?
Yeah,
I thought that's one of my favorites. Yeah, I thought I remembered that was the right one. And of course, how many books actually deal with 19th century sapient dragons
that are used as like warships, you know, during the Napoleonic Wars?
That is one that I definitely mean to pick up because that just sounds awesome.
The first book was free on Kindle for a really long time, so you might still be able to find it that way.
The first one is always free.
I know. They get you started on these series. I kind of took a break after the fifth book, and I need to pick it up again once I have some downtime. But I have a lot of books on the docket right now. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. I've got like a 10-hour flight to Japan next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to finish Wind Up Girl. I just got the relatively new within the last year or two Robin Hobb book.
Uh-huh.
I have to go look at the name of it. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Well, I will talk about our next story then while you figure that out. There is a great chart.
It's called Dragon Keeper, Volume 1 of the Rain Wilds Chronicles. That was fast.
Yeah, it was too fast. All right, well, let's move on to the chart, The Rise and Fall of Fantasy Television, which shows the, you know, the peak of Star Wars in the 70s, and then how effects got cheap, and then we just had this huge spike in the late 90s where, you know, people were just making tons of amazing sci-fi stories, and then, you know, what happened?
Reality TV.
Mid-2000s, exactly. And that started the great decline, and then the writer's strike a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Not enough context here. I want more information. This graph is nice visually, but I'm not getting enough data in regards to why these things are actually happening.
This needs to be an interactive chart, that has more points to it, right? Because it's pretty sparse. It's got like, you know, a little Leonard Nimoy thingy in the early 80s, and I assume that means the Star Trek movies start, but. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
And then it just kind of ends at 2007. There's no data after that. What? When was this chart made?
It was made recently, but, you know, that's just how few sci-fi movies, how sci-fi TV series have
been
made.
Not true. They have Lost there, and then they don't talk at all about Battlestar Galactica.
Caprica.
And Caprica.
Mm-hmm. Stargate Universe. Shows.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got freaking Power Rangers.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to talk about the stupid chart anyway?
Yeah, stupid chart. With not enough data.
God. All right, it's a good idea.
Tom, you're not in charge of this anymore.
Just needs to be reworked. I like this chart. I like the idea of the chart. It does need more data.
I really like this story about apocalypse movies. And has there ever been an apocalypse movie that actually truly destroyed the world? This is on IO9. It's pretty
Have
funny.
You read all the way through this post?
Because
if not, I'm going to ask you if you can guess what that apocalypse movie is. Because there's been one that actually destroyed the Earth.
No.
Because 2012 didn't destroy the Earth.
Oh, I know.
Day After Tomorrow didn't destroy the Earth. Even Planet of the Apes, right, where it buried our entire civilization. The Earth's still fine.
I'll tell you the answer, Tom.
What's the answer?
42.
Yes, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Because it starts out. This isn't even really a spoiler. It starts out with the Earth facing destruction from the Vogons, who went to eliminate it to build a hyperspace bypass. Mm-hmm. And so in the movie, they blow up the Earth.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Now, later on in the series, Earths may show back up for various reasons.
Spoiler alert.
But they do, in fact, destroy the Earth. Good job, Douglas Adams.
But they bring up things like 2012, where, you know, the world gets cracked in two, but it's not really destroyed, and Waterworld, which was totally covered in water, zombie films, you know, all these things say that the world is ending, but something always positive happens at the end. There's some kind of rebirth of human civilization. We never get to that end of days, that real end of days.
I'm trying to think in books, even, if there's too many places where the Earth has been destroyed. Actually, the Dune series alludes to the fact that the Earth was made inhabitable. Uninhabitable. So you there, and it was abandoned a long time ago. But that's not the same thing as destroyed. That's as close as I can think of in books.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
If you've got an idea of a book where they actually did totally destroy the Earth, give us a posting. Either send it to theswordandlaser@gmail.com or just put it up in our Goodreads group.
Absolutely. And speaking of Goodreads, we have a lot of great content over there. As you may have heard, Ning changed their policies. And they changed their policy so that any groups either have to have a paid account or basically move on, go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess they need to make some money. And that's the only way they can figure out how to do it. And so we made the executive decision that since we're having a lot of fun over at Goodreads, we left the Ning group up because people were still enjoying it and continuing conversations there. And I just realized I said I was going to delete the Ning group this past weekend, and I didn't.
No, they'll delete it for us, I'm sure.
I know, but I really want to find a way to archive all our forum postings.
Oh, you know what? I've got it. There's a couple of freeware things out there that will pull down a site.
Really?
For you, yeah.
Even like a forum?
Yeah, it'll just take down, it'll go through and you just tell it how many links deep to go. So you can go like 20 deep links deep and it'll just follow everything and cache it.
All right. I'm good with that then. We'll have to figure that out.
That's probably the way to go.
But a lot of good discussions happening on Goodreads if you haven't already made your way over there. And one of them is the Game of Thrones cast video.
Yes, I watched this on YouTube. It's not an actual video from HBO of the cast, but somebody went and found representative pictures of all the cast of the upcoming miniseries, and then, you know, just kind of put up a little title card of who they were playing. And I thought they did a great job of finding pictures where you say, does look like Eddard Stark there, or yeah, that definitely looks like Daenerys, or, you know, whatever the people. And I'm really excited about the casting now.
I'm just really excited about the show in general. I don't want to wait until 2011.
I don't either. I wish this thing were coming down the pike. I after watching this, after you posted this and I watched it, I was messing around trying to find if there was any actual footage online. And so many people have put up fake trailers, and some of them pretty well done, I have to say.
Are they cut from footage? Like Lord of the Rings and stuff and mixed with
some
other
of
stuff?
Some of them are like that. There was a couple where they tried to find clips of the actual people who are in Game of Thrones from other things that they've done, other TV shows and movies. But there's nothing real out there quite yet.
And this is super interesting. A language expert is actually creating the Dothraki language for the Game of Thrones show.
So it's kind of the thing to do these days, right?
You got to have a full language, much like Klingon and the Na'vi. You got to have a full-on language for it to feel real.
Yeah. So this guy, David J. Peterson, from the Language Creation Society, says he drew inspiration from George R. R. Martin's description of the language, as well as from Russian, Turkish, Estonian, Inuit?
Inuktuit.
I don't know how to properly pronounce that. It said the Dothraki language is not just a collection of sounds. It'll have its own unique and extensive vocabulary, 1,800 words, and a complex grammatical structure.
Would you like to test out some of the Dothraki language?
Sure. What do I need to say?
So you need to say, did you know?
Hush your ray, Nissy.
I want to say something else. Let's say this. The longest word in Dothraki.
Yes,
is,
say that one.
Atashtok devash desharanan rom.
That's like driving down a wet highway.
It's kind of like saying the volcano from Iceland.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That fucking word.
Atashtok devashivarun.
That means from nonsense. So
to live is therat athirarude. To dream.
The word pride is athjakahar. Ajakakar.
Oh, it's derived from Jahak, the traditional long braid worn by the Dothraki warriors.
Ajakakar.
Shaka Khan.
Shaka Khan. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to have some real hardcore Game of Thrones fans learning the language.
Oh, for sure.
I want to see some LARPing, kids.
I want to see a LARP showdown between the Na'vi and the Dothraki.
You know what I'm doing?
With Klingon's referee.
For a LARP off.
A LARP off.
You heard me. I want a LARP off between the Dothraki people and the Na'vi.
This is happening, folks.
They have braids, both of them.
Yeah.
They ride horses, kind mm-hmm. of, both of them.
Yep.
They wear a minimal amount of clothes. They're very connected with their land.
Yeah.
And their beliefs.
And they are at odds with the dominant culture of the planet.
There you go.
Well, actually, not.
Well,
they're at odds with another culture. Not, I shouldn't say dominant culture.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. LARP off.
LARP off.
It might
now.
Not happen for like another 2 years because I don't think the language is even done yet. And people need to see the show before they can start, you know, feeling
but,
that connection.
But no, it gives people can't say they weren't warned.
It's true. Very true.
All right. Wind Up Girl by Paolo Bacigalupi. What's taking so long?
Oh, life. Life is,
is
taking
it just
so
life,
long,
or,
Tom.
Or was it, you were saying it was hard to get into.
I'm into it now. I'm the pace has really picked up for me. So I'm not blaming Wind Up Girl anymore. Now it is just my lazy ass.
Uh-huh.
My lazy, sleepy ass that tries to get into bed and read at night and instantly falls asleep.
This wasn't meant to be a Veronica confessional, but it did pick up.
It definitely picked up.
Okay. Where did it pick up for you?
It picked up for me when Jidy started showing up, if I'm saying uh-huh. his name correctly. That's yeah. really when I started feeling a connection with a character. You know, the wind-up girl, I like her a lot. And she's,
Amiko.
Yeah, Amiko is great. I'm connecting with her so far. But when Jidy or JD showed up, that's when things started getting exciting for me.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I wish
really?
I had a different point. But that is really like he was the one that just really made me go, yeah, okay.
I was like, I like this character.
I like this guy. I like where this is going. So there you go, folks. If you've been thinking, I've been wanting to read this Wind-Up Girl, but I hear it's slow to get into, just hang on there till you see JD or Jidy, and you're in. You're in like Glenn. And then it flew for me. I actually devoured it, and I really liked it. So we'll wrap it up next episode.
Absolutely. I'm sorry for the delay. You know, I've got a lot going on right now, and I hardly have enough time to sleep, let alone read before I sleep. So I'll get on it. I swear. Just
read while you sleep.
And if you've been curious also about like why you should pick up this book, well, Paolo Bacigalupi was just nominated for a Hugo Award for the novel.
There you go.
That's awesome. Congratulations to him. He actually said thank you when we said that on Twitter.
Oh.
I thought that was very nice.
That is nice of him.
Yeah.
It is nice of him to write such an awesome book too.
I know. Well done, Paolo.
Although he's got a ways to go before he becomes one of your favorite authors. And that's no disrespect. He's only done one book, right? I mean,
right.
It would take a lot. But you started a thread on the Goodreads group about top favorite authors that just went wild. 169 views. We got
Woo-hoo.
58 people going in, putting their top five favorite authors. I had a hard time with this.
Oftentimes more, actually. People have been posting outside the genre. They've been posting their, you know, their five favorite sci-fi writers and their five favorite fantasy writers. They've been going to town on it. I'll start with mine. I picked Robin Hobb, Tad Williams, George R. R. Martin, Laurie R. King, and David Eddings.
So that obviously has a theme to it. Very sort of epic fantasy writers,
apparently,
right?
Apparently, I am really for the sword.
Yeah.
Because it didn't take me too long to pick out some of my favorites. Laurie R. King is kind of in a different genre. She's more mystery. But I and speaking of which I was going to bring up later, but now seems like a good time. I've actually been talking with her and she has agreed to at some point do an interview with us.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait.
We'll have her on the show sometime, either this month or next month.
That's excellent. So that is one of five
mm-hmm.
of your top five. Are any of them, are they all still alive?
Robin Hobb is definitely still alive.
Yeah.
I met her somewhat recently.
What about David Eddings?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay, good. So we can get all five of your top five.
Tad Williams, he's still alive.
Okay.
He's still alive. And George R. R. Martin is hanging on. He's still alive.
I can't say the same for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have most Stanislaw of my Lem? Is that one of your picks, really?
Yes. Why?
I don't know.
I know you didn't like Memoirs Found in a Bathtub, but that was totally the wrong book to introduce someone to Stanislaw Lem. You should read The Siberiad.
All right, I know.
Or the I always can never remember the name. There's a Solaris was made into a movie.
Yeah, you're right.
That is usually like the quintessential one. But Stanislaw Lem, dead. Philip K. Dick, dead. Douglas Adams, God rest his soul. Frank Herbert, passed away. Mm-hmm. Gene Wolfe, still kicking.
All right.
So we can get one of my five.
Not bad. Should we read some of our other
favorites? All pretty much laser, yeah.
Let's see. I'm just going to pick a couple of random ones here. Vance, for example, said he likes Guy Gavriel K., George R. R. Martin, and Robin Hobb. Yay! Me and Vance are we're tight, like that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm crossing my fingers to illustrate our tightness in our author picks. And then let's see another one. Where's
I like Tom, a different Tom than me, Tom Smith, who said Neal Stephenson, Daniel Suarez, William Gibson, and Neil Gaiman.
Nice.
I could totally hang. Those would be like the back half of my 10, and I could hang with all those, although Tom's not so good at math because that's only 4.
Yeah, and then Josh Lawrence is also not very good with math because he picked 5. I'm bad at math. He picked Gene Wolfe, Neil Gaiman, George R. R. Martin, Ursula K. Le Guin, and Frank Herbert. Am I saying that name right?
Le Guin, maybe? Yeah, I'm not 100% certain.
Forgive me.
Well, Jeff was kissing up to you when he picked Tad Williams, Brent Weeks, Jim Butcher, R.A. Salvatore, and Terry Brooks.
Where's Tom Mahoney? Where is Tom Mahoney's pick? La 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 la.
Command F.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm. Oh, Terp Kristen.
Oh,
picked,
yeah.
Raymond Feist, Neal Stephenson, George R. R. Martin, Madeleine L'Engle, and Orson Scott Card.
Oh, it's like Terp Kristen strikes the balance between sword and laser. I like that.
Okay, I found Tom Mahoney. So they picked Peter F. Hamilton, John Scalzi, and Joe Hill.
So if you're inspired by these to put out your own top five, check out the feed or the group Goodreads group, the Sword and Laser, and look for the topic top favorite authors. Got a couple other things going on over there at the group as well. A nice thread about what else you're reading if you're just looking for good recommendations of what to pick up. Everybody's sharing all of the stuff that they're reading, and then another good thread of books that should be made into films.
Ooh,
that's always fun. You know what, Tom Mahoney pointed out that Phantom Tollbooth was made into a cartoon because Joshua had suggested that be made into a film. It was made into a cartoon, but I would love it to be made into an actual film.
It was kind of an awesome cartoon, though. I don't know if I want to see it made live action.
After a while, after Where the Wild Things Are, I kind of agree with you.
Other Tom also says Demon, and that would be awesome. Well, I think, isn't that already happening?
He's in talks to get that thing made.
Yeah.
So.
And he also recommended Snow Crash, which...
That would be rough. But
that was on one of IO9's lists of books that should not be made into movies a while back.
I'm all for pulling it off if you can do it right, but I don't want to see Dune happen again.
No. No, really? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you.
I think Dune could be done a lot better.
No, I didn't. That's why I think it should be done better.
That's what I mean. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, which is I don't want to see them try to make this Snow Crash and then it's as bad as the Dune movie was.
Oh.
I agree with you. Dune could be made better.
As a remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. We're there together on that one. I'm trying to find another really funny one. Let's see. Come on, guys. They're just arguing about things now, like Ringworld, for example.
Well, yeah, because that's on sci-fi. And sci-fi, you know... I like some of the offbeat things they've done with Wizard of Oz and Alice, where it's sort of a retelling later on. Yeah, and Red. Those have all been interesting. I wouldn't say they're like awesome, like best thing ever, but good way to spend a little bit of time on a Saturday evening. And, you know, good casting, interesting people. And I always like that sort of parallel universe effect where they're with both of them. It was basically they were visiting Oz or visiting Alice's Beyond the Looking Glass much later in time from when the originals had happened.
I'm going to start an argument with you right now.
Okay.
Because I saw a movie that I actually enjoyed and you didn't enjoy it.
What was that?
Can you guess?
Dances with Wolves?
No. More recent.
Waterworld.
More recent.
Oh.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah?
Release the Kraken!
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't?
No, because everybody dissed it. Eileen is afraid to go now because she was really excited to see it.
I'm the only one I know who liked it.
Okay, well, that's it. Veronica liked it. I have to go see it.
No, now. Well, apparently I am not the best judge of this kind of thing because no one else I went with liked it. Everything I've read about it, people have said it was terrible. And I just went into it with an open mind and I had a lot of fun.
See, but I felt that way about 2012. I was excited to see it. I wanted to see it. Everybody said it was crap. It came out. Everybody said it was crap still, and I loved it because I knew exactly what I was getting into. So, maybe if I set my expectations correctly, I can still have a good time with it.
Well, it was like that with us in Golden Compass, too.
Yes.
We both kind of didn't hate it as much as everyone else we saw it with hated it. And yeah, I know it wasn't the best movie of all time, but I had fun. It was a spectacle. I enjoyed watching it, you know?
Mm-hmm. They did a good job with the effects. The acting wasn't horrible. They're just, you know, they may not have done justice to the story.
Right.
And that is...
I did not consider it a waste of 2 hours.
No, me either.
All right. Well, good. Well, maybe you will enjoy. I could have sworn that I ran into you on the street after you had seen Clash of the Titans. What movie was that? Werewolf one?
Oh, yeah. What was that?
What was that werewolf one?
With Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
It
was so bad. I don't even remember the name.
Yeah, it didn't deserve a name.
For some reason, I must have gotten that crossed in my mind.
Well, because the ending was awful of that movie.
Right. Yeah, I ran into you and Eileen and Josh.
Yeah.
After that movie. And you warned me away from it. So I took your advice on that one.
Yeah, because it was this kind of classic werewolf movie. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was called The Wolfman, by the way.
Ah, Wolfman.
And then the ending, I won't give away the ending. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Stupid.
And ruined everything.
Stupid.
Like it was on a thread, but if it had had like an amazing ending, I might have been like, oh, I enjoyed that. Might have been like Golden Compass, where I was like, it wasn't the best thing, but I had a good time. But the ending just ruined it for me.
All right. Well, we are rat-holing, so I think we should probably wrap up the show.
We should rat-hole a wrap.
Do you want to talk about one of our partners?
Yes, our partner StickerFoo. Don't forget them. You can use the code SWORD1 when you go to their site at StickerFoo.com. That's sticker, like you'd spell sticker, FU.com. I'm not telling you to FU. That's just how it's spelled. StickerFU.com. And they've got great stuff like Hogwarts stickers for your car or Horde and Alliance stickers. But don't buy the Alliance ones. However, you will get 10% off even an Alliance sticker with the code SWORD1.
Excellent. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at SwordAndLaser.com. And there you can get access to our store. You can get access to our discussion page on Goodreads, or you can just search for us on Goodreads and find all sorts of different ways to subscribe to the show, to the RSS feed, and to get in contact with us. And if you want to just email us, it's theswordandlaser@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you soon. Bye.